You sang that song that when I watch the news, when I listen to people talk about different issues and beliefs and things that go on, it's really confusing. And people have different values, different thoughts, different philosophies and ideas. And yet, when I read scripture, it's like he washes my mind. Ephesians 5 speaks about it. And so when we open up the word together, I really believe something profoundly loving is taking place. Our God in heaven, who designed us, who made us, who knows what's best for us, begins to wash our mind of the thoughts of this world and align our thoughts with his thoughts. And that's where there's peace, and that's where there's joy, and that's where there's security. We're in Missions Month, May, and Ian Ashby did an amazing job last Sunday night encouraging us to look at overseas mission. He's speaking again tonight at 6:30. And in the morning, I want to encourage people to look at local mission. And I want to look at, in particular, how to start everyday spiritual conversations. My primary purpose is, over these next few weeks, is that you and I just get more and more comfortable talking about God in any situation, over a coffee, at work, to bring in those God conversations in a way that's natural and not threatening and engages people and causes people to wonder and to seek more than what they already understand. I want to say, friends, that in today's society, if you have a strong conviction that there is such a thing as ultimate truth, the world is more than slightly closed that there is to you. There's an assumption out there that there's no such thing as ultimate truth. There's an assumption out there that all religions are basically the same. Ravi Zacharias, an apologist, says this: in today's society, we need to find the back door to people's hearts because the front door is heavily guarded. And I watched that last night with the news, those little chick tracks going out in Mount Roskill. You know, is Islam a peaceful religion? Their version of peace is very, very different from what anyone else in New Zealand would imagine when you study the Quran. It's very different, but that's offensive. It's hate speech, you know. And if you're going to speak to people about issues today, you have to be really, really wise and really Holy Spirit-led. God wants lost people saved, but it's no longer just speak the truth, bang, there it is, people are going to react. We're living in a different world. We're living in a different time. We know that Jesus loves lost people. And as you love the Lord more and you feel filled with the Spirit, you'll end up loving lost people more too. But we need to be very careful about where to take those God conversations and how to bring them about. And the reality is, Billy Graham, 50 years ago, could speak in a nation like this that grew up on Sunday school, that grew up with Christian input, and tens of thousands of people will go forward. If Billy Graham did that today, you know, friends, it wouldn't happen the same. It's a different world. It's a different New Zealand. The gospel's not changed, but people's eyes and ears are closed to things that are spiritual. If we say there is ultimate truth or there's one way to God, and yet people are spiritual. I want to suggest to you, friends, looking at the recent J. John Crusade that we had in Whangarei, that it was wonderful. I'll do it again. I totally enjoyed it. But I think we need to be really careful about how we engage with people and what we expect of the non-Christian community. We spent about $11,000 running J. John, and I loved it, every minute of it. So the churches combined, we had 1,309 people go to Elam. Another 400 went to Renew. There was about 400 people live streaming it. Now, 14 people became Christians for the first time out of all those folk. 14. We had an Easter camp here at our church, and I was a part of it a couple of years ago. And at Manai, we had about 50 or 60 young people. And it would have been, I think there's 23 first-time salvations. So we spent 11 grand. We had 14 first-time salvations, and the salvation's worth more than 11 grand. Don't get me wrong. It so is. Of those 14 salvations, 12 of them were teenagers. Interesting, isn't it? So where is there a harvest? Where is there an openness of heart? Where should we focus our strategies wisely? I want to suggest to you that so many teenagers responded to God because, A, they're open. It's that age group. They're teachable. They're not fixed in their mindsets. But B, Shania and a bunch of leaders had teenagers out at Camp Manaia. And at Camp Manaia and at various camps around Whangarei, where there's relationship and conversations and questions and answers, people come to a place where they can hear the gospel and receive it. But without that interaction, without those conversations, without those questions being answered, people aren't keen to come to church and learn about spiritual things. Well, folk would say to you and me, hey, but New Zealand's no longer a spiritual country. You're wrong. It's a very spiritual country. Look at the stats from the 2013 statistics. Actually, I've jumped a bit. All right, you know what I'm going to do? Graham, I'm going to go back to my notes. All right, rather than confuse you guys up there. We're going to come to those stats in just a minute, but I want to talk about a man called David Pollock, Doug Pollock. Doug Pollock wrote a very, very simple book called God Space. And he says that if you want to do evangelism in today's society, it's not about bringing people to here. It's about us going there and knowing how to have conversations that get people thinking. This is how he describes God Space in his book. He says, God Space is where God is felt and encountered in tangible ways that address the longings and the cries of the human heart. Seeds of faith are planted, watered, and nurtured. Gentleness and respect are present. Judgment is absent, and divine dialogue flows naturally because trust has been established. The invisible principles of God's kingdom are made visible in ways people can see, touch, and feel. Friends or sinners, in other words, our friends, dwell in God's space. The topic of God can be explored freely without agendas, biases, and personal convictions getting in the way. Cynics, skeptics, scoffers, and spiritually curious people alike can raise their questions, share their doubts, voice their concerns, and even vent their anger toward God and the church. The unworthy feel safe enough to bring their real selves out into the light and journey one step at a time toward the magnetic pull that they sense deep in their souls. Spiritual curiosity is aroused, and the message of Christianity becomes plausible. God Space. When we talk evangelism, it's not about, hey, people come to our church or Elam or Church Unlimited, all other great churches in Whangarei. It's about us going out there. And so loving people, so looking at people with Jesus' eyes that we want to mention the Lord, but we want to be led by the Spirit as into how we have those conversations. We've done a little bit of work at this a couple of years ago. I talked about the importance of sowing seeds when you meet people. And you might recall we talked about as soon as you meet someone, as soon as you sign a contract, bump into someone at work, it's wise to just sow a seed. And the sooner you mention something about God, the church, answer prayer, Christianity, something like that, the sooner the Holy Spirit will use that. And if there's good soil, develop faith. The longer you leave God out of the conversation, the more awkward it's going to be. And so we talked about things like someone might rock up to you and say, oh, what a beautiful day. And instead of saying, yeah, mate, it is, we say, you know, it's amazingly designed, isn't it? Someone rocks up to you and says, gosh, this government's awful, you know. What are we going to do? And we'd say, look, you know, we're praying for Jacinda Ardern and doing some good things, but really no government's going to solve our problems, is it? Something much greater than human beings is needed to solve the world's problems. And so in our conversation, we're just saying little things that come naturally, throwing out a seed. And it's important that happens at the very beginning of any conversation, any beginning of any relationship. And if there's fertile soil, God will use it. I think the greatest mind on evangelism, understanding our culture today, is a man called Dave Mann. You know those hope projects that have been coming out, hope booklets for the last 3 years? That's Dave Mann. Over Easter, there was this lady doing a spoken word, a young Māori lady, talking about amazing grace. Did you see that? Powerful, just a spoken word about what Easter's about. That's Dave Mann. He runs a conference where he trains evangelists all the time. It's Dave Mann. He's got a website called altogether.co.nz where he's teaching people, he's putting video clips out there, explain how to have God conversations and how to deal with people's big questions in today's culture. I've had the joy of leading hundreds of people to Christ, and I've so enjoyed it. It's what I get out of bed for in the morning, and discipling folk, and it's been so much fun. But I want to learn more about how to do that. And I think the evangelist that best understands our culture in New Zealand is Dave Mann. And so I'm going to tap into his resources over these next couple of weeks during Missions Month. Now I'll go back to those, what I was about to say before, Graham. In New Zealand, we might think that people aren't spiritually open or interested in spiritual things. Here's some stats from the 2013 census. 48% of New Zealanders affiliate with Christianity in the census. 42% said they had no religion. And that's likely to grow as a people group. 6% affiliated with religions other than Christianity, and 4% declined to respond. In other words, 80% of Kiwis consider themselves spiritual. So you know, I might think, let's not go out and have God conversations. People aren't interested. People aren't open. 80% of Kiwis, in a sense, say, actually, we're interested in spiritual things. So the issue is not, are they interested or are they open? It's how do we engage? How do we start conversations with people that are open? 46% believe in God of some kind. 31% believe in a higher power. 90% believe in neither, but still have spiritual views and believe in such things as ghosts. And even the most secular nations in the world, like Scandinavia and Japan, still believe in the paranormal. 46% of Kiwi women believe that you can communicate with the dead. Now, rather than just go, heck, that's nuts and that's crazy, you know, we have to look at stats like that and say, you know what, there's an openness. There's a spiritual curiosity. And because we love the Lord and we love people, we need to tap into that. And how do we do that? And that's what this series is all about. The topic this morning is ask, don't tell. Many people today don't believe religious truth exists. Instead, they believe all religions are essentially the same. Have you heard that from people? Man, I hear that just about every week from someone in the community. They believe all religions are the same. So here's a question. How do you tell the truth to someone who doesn't believe religious truth exists? How do you do that? If they've made up their minds, there's no such thing as absolute truth, religious truth. And you want to tell them this is the truth, the way, which I believe with all my heart. How do you do that? Their mind's already close to it, isn't it? So you can't go through the front door. You can't be direct. You have to be wise and led by the Holy Spirit. You can't. It's philosophically impossible. What can you do? You can talk with them about it. It's called conversation. It's a great conversation, and a great conversation is no further away than a great question. And that's where Dave Mann's got much to teach us about how to ask right questions and engage in good conversation. Jesus told his disciples not to worry about what to say when put in a position where they've got to witness or talk about the kingdom. He said, Holy Spirit's going to put the words in your mouth. Don't worry about what to say. Jesus didn't have a pattern. He didn't say, when you go evangelizing or sharing your faith with people, use the four spiritual laws or copy Ray Comfort or do this or do that. He didn't do that. If you look at Jesus' conversations with pre-Christian people, they're all different. They were led by the Spirit. And they were motivated by love. Very often he asked a question with an answered a question with another question. Why? Because that's what's a great way of helping people come to truth. That's what we're going to learn in the coaching workshop in a couple of weeks' time. If you want people to dig deep and own their response and think through things, ask a question. When they ask you a question, ask a question back. And that's what our Lord exemplified so often. How about this as a summary of Jesus' approach to personal outreach? Jesus talked with people with an ear open to the Spirit. It was a conversational approach and it was a Spirit-led approach. And I think because that's what Christ did, we'd be wise to follow his example. 6 benefits of asking questions before talking. Number one, it creates space for us to listen to people before we talk. I don't know how often this has happened to you, but it's happened to me. When I've been talking to someone about the Lord and I've been passionate and excited to do it, I've stepped back and thought, yeah, I think I've said too much. I think that was too much of a monologue. And people don't want to hear that. Even if you know what you know and you believe what you believe, you experience God, people don't want to hear a sermon over a cup of coffee. They don't want a monologue. They want to be listened to. They want to be engaged in conversation. Sometimes we assume we understand what a person said when really we don't. And when you don't know what to say, I think Dave Mann's advice is really wise. When you don't know what to say, ask a question and get them thinking. Let the Holy Spirit work in that question in their hearts. I've never forgotten a situation back at Ranui when I didn't ask questions, when I didn't clarify my communication. There's a bunch of Romani people, about 30 in the home group I was leading. And I said to them, come to my home for potluck dinner, bring a plate. And they were utterly confused about bringing an empty plate. Why would you bring a plate to dinner? Russell, if you love us, aren't you going to feed us up? Isn't it going to be a big feed? And I didn't react to their reactions. I didn't clarify the conversation. And it ended up being a very embarrassing night. It really did. My fault. Why? Because I was talking according to my culture, my understanding, my Christianese, without listening and clarifying that they understood what I was saying. Secondly, why listen? Why ask questions and listen before talking? It creates space for us to listen to God before we talk. Boy, if you look at Jesus' encounters with the Samaritan woman or different people, he's obviously listening to the Holy Spirit and talking to the person at the same time. And what got the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman? It's the fact that he's listening to the Father and he's saying, you know what, you've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now isn't your husband. And the lady's going, oh, this isn't apologetics, this isn't facts. This person, how does he know? There's something paranormal, something supernatural going on. It potentially opens an ongoing conversation. Imagine someone has asked a question and your answer is by stating your view. This is the facts, there it is, bang. What are they going to do if they're a long way from God? What are they going to do if they're like most Kiwis, that all religions are the same and whatever works for you, mate? You hit them with the facts, even if it's truth. They're probably going to go, thanks very much. And that might be the end of the conversation. When they respond to us with, oh, thanks, it doesn't mean that they agree. It probably means that they don't know what to go, how to go forward with it, how to interact with us. But if you reply with a question to their question, it can turn things around completely. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What's blinded? It's the mind. And so you and I are wanting to talk about truth, and we know it's true, and we've seen God do miracles, we feel his presence, we hear his voice. Historically, things have been validated through scripture, but they're a long way from that. And they've made up assumptions, they've made up belief systems that are blinding them. Their mind is blinded. People can be blinded to the gospel by the way they are taught to think. For instance, that all life can be explained away as the consequences of a long series of accidents, where all religions are the same. That's the teaching of our culture. And if the mind is blinded, it will probably be disinterested or unmoved by a debate. They know the fact, and what we're saying based against that fact isn't true, so their mind is closed. However, through questions, we can still engage in a conversation. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 24, Jesus speaking. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus doesn't answer the question. He could have. But he says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commands." Which ones, he inquired. So Jesus is answering a question with a question. Now, the conversation's far bigger than 20 seconds that we see in our scripture. But the gospel writers have kept the bones, the important parts of the conversation. A question's answered with a question, the conversation ensues, and a greater impact is had upon the person. If he had answered the rich man's question straight away with a blunt answer, the conversation would have been over, and the impact minimal. However, by engaging in dialogue, the impact at the end of this particular conversation is quite hard-hitting. Why listen to people? Why ask questions? Number four, it returns the onus of proof to the other person in a critical conversation. Matthew 25, 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him with words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used to pay the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and so they left him and went away. How did Jesus answer their question? With a question. What effect did it have? It put the onus of proof back on them and made them think. Someone says to you, hey, Russell, Lynn, Jeff, George, Shania, you know, Mike, surely the Bible can't be trusted. It's a myth that's been copied so many times. Instead of just sitting down apologetically and talking about how the Bible was copied and translated, why don't you hit them with another question? What do you mean by that? Where do you get the idea that the Bible's lost its truth, it's been watered down? You're putting the question back on them. They're having to do the research and the thinking and come up with the answer. Someone comes up to you and says, look, all religions are the same, and this will happen to you most weeks. Why don't you turn around and say, really? When it comes to Jesus, they seem so different. When it comes to morality, it seems so different. When it comes to heaven and earth and what's right and wrong, it seems so different. The way of salvation seems so different. Even is there a God or not seems so different. What leads you to believe all religions are the same? So rather than getting defensive and apologetic, do what Jesus did. Just ask a question and cause them to think. And the Holy Spirit will step in with you and with me as we do that. Why ask questions and listen? It's non-threatening. We can even disagree without disagreeing. You see, if you disagree in a conversation, that conversation is probably cut dead straight away. But if you ask a question, if your general attitude and tone is positive and encouraging, you can discuss what they've said without revealing what you believe straight away. Lead them into a conversation. Cause them to dig deeper. We're going to look next week about how to handle conflict and what do you do when people blatantly disagree with what we believe. Number six, why ask questions? Why listen to people? It will cause them to reevaluate their beliefs. That's the goal. If they get your point about all religions being different, that there must be a God, it can't be maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. You know, you can't say all religions are the same and hold two viewpoints. Something's got to be wrong. It's going to make them think. We want to see all people choose to accept Christ's forgiveness and journey toward faith. But we need to accept that's going to be one step at a time. Our job is to encourage and help them in taking those small steps. Consider again 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. And that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If people believe all religions are the same, we've got to challenge that and make them think. I was talking to a guy the other day, and lovely person. And as we're talking, God came up, obviously. And he started talking about his yogi and how he trained in India, and all religions are the same, and spiritual wavelengths and thought patterns and things that happen in the mind. And he gave me a really great discourse about what he believed. Then I turned around to him and said, if all religions are the same, why is Jesus so different than all religions? Why is the way to salvation so different? And he just thought about the question. He gave me some more information about what he believed, and he walked away. And I thought, oh, I didn't lead him to Christ. Not sure what's happened there. You know what happened? He came back to church 3 days later, and I found him sitting in the building, sitting still. I made him a cup of coffee. I said, oh, mate, what are you doing here? He said, there's such a good vibe about this place. There's something special about this building. So I didn't get him to the kingdom. I didn't get him with the gospel. I didn't present the gospel fully. But by asking a question, what do you believe what you believe? There's a relationship. There was an openness of heart. And he's come back another time since then as well. For years, a Christian church has been telling people the truth. And it is the truth. But now we're living in a culture where predominantly people are saying, what you're telling us, Christians, isn't true. Our assumption, our belief system is that it's not true. There's no such thing as ultimate truth. It's subjective truth. And so we've got to be wise. Wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, I think one of the Proverbs speaks about. We must learn to engage in conversations, and the opportunities are all around us every day. And the key to a great conversation is, tell a person beside you, what is the key to a great conversation, spiritual conversation? A great question, isn't it? I guarantee you got that right. Would you stand with me, please? I want to pray with you and for you. And for me, I'm one of those black and white people. I am so thrilled to tell the truth and to get it out there fast. And it's really hard for me to pause and ask a question and listen and do more listening than talking. That is not easy for me, and it probably isn't for some of you too. But I want to pray for you and pray for me that God would send us out this week like salt in this community, like light in this community, that these people who surround us, who are beautiful people who Christ died for, with all sorts of needs and all sorts of brokenness, that we'd look at them with Christ's eyes and we'd ask them good questions. And we'd listen to them and we'd listen to the Holy Spirit as to what comes next. Let's pray. Lord, in the media, we hear things like Christianity's in decline. And there doesn't seem to be a huge response to the gospel right now. But your word says that you'll extend your kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we believe your word. And we believe, God, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for all people that are lost. That there's only one way, one truth, one life, and it's found through Jesus. So, Lord, we're living in an age and a time where the bulk of the people around us see things differently. Where so many don't even have a Sunday school or a Bible in school's background, which would have helped profoundly. When they look at us and they assume, God, that we're out about empire building and hating people of same-sex attraction and all these other assumptions that they assume about the church. And it seems like their mind is closed and they're blinded. God, teach us this week by your Spirit how to get around that blindness with truth and with good questions. And may it be when we look at people in our community, they're never seen as the enemy or the opposition. They're seen as future relatives to be saved for eternity. Give us your eyes to see the lost and the hurting. And give us your questions, Jesus, to engage them in deep conversations that the Holy Spirit can use to bring them home, to join the family. Father, we believe that the church is the hope of the world. The gospel is the only way to be saved. Give us the wisdom and the love and the questions to communicate that this week to those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless your family. If you'd like prayer for any reason this morning too, please hang out in front.